Exodus chapter 21. Exodus chapter 21. Sort of between 1 Kings 19, which I went through 17 and 18 to get there. And this thought in Exodus chapter 21 after Brother Davidson got done last night. And let me say to the church, thank you so much for your gracious hospitality. The pork loin and the green beans were a blessing last night. Amen. I'm a country boy. I like that kind of stuff. And boy, the fellowship I got to have with your preacher and others today was a blessing. Pray for me. I get to drive home in the morning. I don't get to be home for prayer meeting very much during the year. And I most of the time leave about every Monday through Wednesday. And I'm excited to get to preach a prayer meeting tomorrow night at home. And but I am so thankful for the opportunity to be here. It's good to see Brother Jason, man, been some years. And then the Pittmans as well. I don't know that we've seen one another since we were in Nayarit, Mexico, Tepic, Mexico. And I'm glad to see you still in the way. And I bless the Lord for that. Exodus chapter 21. Let's stand together. You can stretch your legs. And again, thank you, Pastor, for allowing me to be here. And I'll try to preach fast. And I know your mind cannot comprehend what your backside can't take. Amen. And so let's look at verse number 1. The Bible said, "Now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. Thou buy an Hebrew servant, 6 years shall he serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. And if he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master hath given him a wife, and she hath borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. And if the servant shall plainly say," if you write in your Bible, you ought to underline the next phrase. I thought Brother Tim said it so well last night. "We're preaching to a generation. They're trying to do a lot of things for the wrong reasons. That's when men change, that's why they change. And that's why when they get out from under their moms and dads, that they find their own way. And they didn't do it because of what this Hebrew slave would say. I love my master. My wife and my children. I will not go out free. Then his master shall bring him unto the judges, and he shall also bring him to the door under the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever." You can be seated. I want to take my text tonight in verse number 5, where the Bible said, "And if the servant," I like this part, "shall plainly say," not reluctantly say, not sheepishly say, but he said, "If the servant shall plainly say, I love my master." I read these verses. I love the church hymnal, and I know the addresses of a lot of those songs. That way, when I'm riding by myself and I need the words of one of them, I know where to arrive at them. I like that number 4. It said, "I'm free again." I like number 6. "I want to know more about my Lord. Mom and Dad going to heaven now, and I really like, I'll meet you in the morning." Number 14. Amen. I like number 44 and number 50 in the sweet forever. Number 44, I'd rather be an old time Christian. Amen. Than anything I know. I like number 68. He'll take me through. Number 76. "Jesus spoke to me one day. Praise his holy name forever. Said he died my debts to pay. Bore my sin and shame." And I like number 88 that said, "I'm going that way." 92. "Just a little talk with Jesus." And 105, "How beautiful heaven must be." Amen. 114, "I've never been sorry." Praise the Lord. 120, the Baptist National Anthem, Victory in Jesus. Amen. Amen. I like 141, cleanse me. Search me, O God, know my heart today. I like 150, he's the dearest friend I ever had. And I can go on and on. You say, well, you ought not to know that. Well, listen to me. Every once in a while, I need a song in the night. Amen. But when I read what the Hebrew servant had to say about his master, one of those Red Book songs jumped up in my heart. It's number 8. It said, I love the Lord deep down in my heart. And if the Lord would let me exhort you for just a few minutes, I'd like to preach on that thought. I love the Lord deep down in my heart. You come to Exodus chapter number 20. Just before our text tonight, you find the Ten Commandments have just been delivered. The law of Moses had 3 divisions. It had the moral law and the civil law and the ceremonial law. That moral law is found in the Ten Commandments. That civil law is found in Exodus 21 and 22 and 23. And then you find the ceremonial law in the first chapters of the book of Leviticus. In that moral law, we see God's governing authority by the Lord God the Father. And that second, that civil law, we see the ministry and the activity of the Holy Ghost as He maintains order among God's people. But then you get into those first chapters of Leviticus and you find those types of the offerings, and we see the picture of the lovely Lamb of God. But as we make our way into Exodus chapter number 21, it's amazing to me when you consider the story that we find in Exodus 21, that a servant or a slave could, his life could become so intertwined with the life of his master, that when it came time that he would have the opportunity to become a free man again, that the servant would come to himself and say that I do not want another master. And not only do I not want another master, I don't even want to be my own master. And can I tell you, the servant might look at it this way, and he might say, you know, I don't want to go back to living the way I was living before I met the master. I don't want to go back to living in my own strength. I don't want to go back to living in my own wisdom and my own abilities and my own desires. Because maybe he were to be honest, he would say, it was my own ways and my own wisdom. It was my own desires that got me in this predicament to begin with. Maybe that would look at it and say, you know, I couldn't imagine waking up tomorrow morning and not walking into the master's house. I could not imagine waking up tomorrow morning and not being able to hear my master's voice. I would not want to imagine a day when I could not sit down and have fellowship with my master. I enjoy, maybe he thought, goodness, I could not think about a day when I did not have the opportunity to do my master's bidding. And he said, man, I'll be honest with you. A matter of fact, he said, I believe I'll just stay right here for the rest of my days. I believe I'll just spend the rest of my life serving my master. Can I tell you, you may be sitting here thinking, my, how in the world could a person choose a life of service? How could a person choose a life of servitude instead of doing your own thing and calling your own shots? You might be questioning and why somebody would rather live their life doing the bidding of somebody else than doing what they would like to do. How could they get to the place where they would say, I love my master, or I love the Lord more than I love my own way. I love the Lord more than I love my own will. And can I say, if you're thinking that way tonight, you may never have met the master that I know. You may not never met the master that they were just singing about crowning the Lord. And you might not have been, you may have never met him like it was when the hearts were singing, we shall see Jesus just as he is. How could I tell you, if you could ever meet the master like we met him, if you could ever meet the master like the hearts were singing about, and Brother Wesley and the girls were singing about, I believe that you would come to the same conclusion that this Hebrew servant come to when he said, I love the Lord. You might decide that you don't want another master. You might decide that you don't want to do your own thing. You might decide that you've lived long enough without him, and you don't want to go back to a time that he is not there. I'm telling you, listen, I hope you know by now who I'm talking about. I'm not talking about just some Hebrew slave owner, but I'm talking about the one that's altogether lovely. I'm talking about the one who is the Alpha and the Omega and the beginning of the end. Jesus said, you call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so am I. Can I tell you, if you ever submit yourself to the will and the wounds and the ways of the Master, you won't want to go looking for another Master, friend. You'll come to the same conclusion that Brother Fuller has, and these men of God that have served him all his life, and these saints of God that you watch out and weep and praise God. The same one that old Brother Tripp you were talking about today, just laid over that pew and wept. The same one that old Brother Ballou said, preach like that as long as you can, because one day you'll wish you could. It wasn't because we could get on another platform and the lights be cut on, but I believe he was head over heels in love with his master. Amen, friend. I'm telling you, thank God tonight in the Emerald Coast Jubilee. Do you know what would change our life? Do you know what would bring a purpose? Do you know what would bring joy? Do you know what would bring freedom to our Christian life? Do you know what would bring worship back to our services? Neighbor, when you and I would fall in love with the Master again, can I tell you, friend, a worshipless Christian life, can I tell you, listen, if you miss worship in your Christian life, you can be empty as a heretic, amen, and you can be cold as a liberal, amen. God wants us to worship him, and in spirit and truth. And friend, when you love him like you really ought to, you don't have a problem lifting your hands to the Lord. You don't have a problem crawling on an altar and weeping about what he's done for you, because you love him, amen, you love him. Somewhere along the way, we've got our thinking fouled up. In the Christian life, we think we're our own master. We think we call our own shots in our life. We've come to the place where we feel like we're the ruler of our own life. And that means we go where we want to go, do what we want to do, wear what we want to wear, listen to what we want to listen to, say what we want to say. But friend, that's not the Christianity of the Bible. He said you are not your own, that you are bought with a price. Amen. You say, what does that mean? It says, I go where my master says go. I love what my master says love. I say what my master says say. I'm telling you, friend, listen, we need to get back to that kind of Christianity. Somewhere along the way, I just say this, I'll be honest with you, Brother Floor, our churches, we lack worship, to be honest with you, and it's not the pew's fault. I think a lot of that fault lies on the platform. Amen. People say, well, y'all have a worship leader at your church. I know what they're asking me. They're asking me, do we have a long-haired hippie with a guitar and strobe lights and a disco light? I understand what they're asking me. Do you have a worship leader? I said, we sure do. They said, who is it? I said, you're looking at it. I said, you're looking at him. They said, you can play a guitar. I said, no. You lead to sing it? No. I said, I lead the worship. Amen. I tell our young people in the choir, I told them, Brother Kendrick, I said, look, if you ever get happy and you want to praise God and shout, I said, you won't have to do it by yourself. Somebody said, well, what if you don't feel led to shout? What if you don't feel like shout? I didn't know I had to feel like anything to worship God. I thought Philippians 4:4 said rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. Amen. You say, well, shouldn't you feel it? Listen to me. Those youngins praising God ought to be enough for me to lift my hands to the Lord and say, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that's within me, bless his holy name. You know what I found out? I may not feel it when I start, but I'll feel it before I'm finished. Amen, friend. Oh, would to God we'd get back. I tell you what, listen, we would realize, man, we don't preach because we have to. We don't serve because we have to, but I preach because I love him. I sing because I love him. I worship because I love him. I want to live right because I love him. Would to God us preachers would fall in love with him again and say, Lord, you've been good to me. Amen. Somewhere along the way, we got the idea, and preachers, that if we'll arrive to the place, there'll be folks that wait on us. Look at Romans 1. You look at James 1, Brother Chris. 2 Peter 1, my brother. Jude 1. Amen? Have we not been around men that you get there and they feel like when they walk in the building that you're there to take care of them? And I'll be honest, now listen to me. I'm not talking about not being a gracious host. You come to our place, I'll wait on the men of God that come to our place. I'll cart them wherever they want to go, take them where they want to eat except Chinese. You say, why? God saved me. I don't eat cats no more. Praise God. Amen. Amen. I'll take them anywhere else. I'll even take them to Chinese, but I'm fasting and praying. Amen. Amen. I'm not talking about that. I'm not, that's not the attitude I'm talking about. But I've been around men. I think everything revolves around men. But that's not the Christianity. What did Romans 1 say, Brother Parker? Paul who? Surely it said Paul, the missionary to the Gentiles. Surely it said Paul, the greatest theologian of his day. Surely it said Paul, the martyr. Surely it said Paul, the one who had the most truth on the second coming. What did it say? A servant. Who? What? Who was the servant? Paul. An apostle born out of due time. One that saw the Lord on the Damascus Road. Amen. One that stood in front of the powers that be of the day and testified. Surely he said that. Surely he said, I'm the one that God saved 275 other men's life. Surely that's what it said. Surely it said Paul, the writer of 14 books of the New Testament. You say, I don't know if he wrote 14. That's fine. I think 14 is a number of deliverance. It's a number of a national deliverance in the Word of God. And he was the missionary to who? The Gentiles. Sound like to me, he brought some deliverance of the Gentile nation, praise God. Amen. What did it say? Paul, the servant. How about it, Brother Chris? James, a servant. James, surely James, half-brother Jesus. Surely it said James, the one who lived with the Lord. No, it said James, the servant. How about it, my brother?
Simon Peter, a servant.
Simon Peter. Surely it said Simon Peter, the one that went up on the Mount of Transfiguration and saw the Lord. Surely it said Simon Peter, and it began to describe all that he'd done. Surely it said that, didn't it? No, it said Simon Peter, the servant. What did it say in Jude?
Jude, a servant.
Jude, a servant. It didn't say Jude, the one that the Lord chose to wrote the vestibule of the revelation of Jesus Christ. No, it said Jude, a servant. Do you know what? We got set free. You remember when you got born again? You remember when God, the Holy Ghost, preacher said it this evening while he prayed, or while he talked about the service, he said outside of the spirit of conviction, there will be no conversion. You remember when the Spirit of God convicted you and saved you by the grace of God? Can I tell you, he didn't save you for you to do your own thing. He didn't save you for somebody else to wait on you. But he saved us for us to be a servant to the Lord Jesus and the body of Christ. Can I tell you, friend, the greatest advertisement for anybody is a happy servant. Amen. That Queen of Sheba looked at Solomon and said, happy are thy men. Happy are those servants and continually stand before thee and hear thy wisdom. Would to God we were happy to be in his presence. We were happy to sing his songs. We were happy to give. We were happy to bless him. We'll make demands of our life. I mean, happy am I. Praise God, friend. Oh, the servant said, I love the Lord. Look at your Bible quickly. Notice verse 2. Can I make three statements and then I'll be done? He said, I want to say I love the Lord because the purchase that found me. But Kendrick, what's that verse 2 said? He said, if thou buy. But Tim, I'm interested in how these two men came in to be in a relationship. And I'm not talking about a ugly relationship. How did these men enter into this relationship? Well, the truth is, one bought the other. One bought the other. I want you to notice, friend, the way they came into being, the way they came to know one another is there was a purchase made. Can I tell you, friend, why did that man need to be purchased in the first place? Well, somewhere along the way, he had made some bad decisions. Somewhere in his life, he had made some bad choices that resulted in him being overwhelmed in debt. His debt had got so large that he did not have the ability to pay. I believe he probably sold his flocks. I believe he probably sold whatever land he had. He was trying to meet the debt. You remember, some of y'all remember years ago, there was that national debt clock in New York City that just turned and turned and turned. And man, it just seems like you could never keep up. And man, he finally got to the place when he had done all he could to meet the debt. He realized that he didn't have enough. He come up short. So he didn't have but one choice. He didn't have but one option. He had to be sold into slavery. And can you imagine, they would have took him down there to that auction block. He'd have stood in there. And can you imagine, Brother Jason, those men started to walk in there. And he thought, man, all I can hope for is some good man will come in here. But the truth is, he was at the mercy of whoever was willing to buy. But Tim, you come be my auctioneer. Come, Brother Parker, you come be my Hebrew slave. Come help me, Brother Kendrick. Come help me, Brother Chris. Come help me, Brother Wesley. Y'all come be my other bidders. Amen. Amen. Come on over here, Brother Kendrick. Amen. Boy, could you imagine what that boy must have felt like? He's standing there on that auction block, and the auctioneer said, who'll give me this? Who'll give me that? Man, he don't know these men that are standing in here. He has no idea what their intentions are, what they intend to do with him. And maybe you would begin to be in. Brother Chris would begin to be in. Brother Wesley would begin to be in. And he's over there wondering, who is going to buy me? And all of a sudden, another man walks in, and he doesn't bid. He just walks up to the auctioneer and says, I'll take him, whatever the cost. And all of a sudden, the auctioneer will bang the gavel, and he would say, sold to that man. And can I tell you what? Buying and Brother Kendrick would not have been enough if I would have had to pay whatever the auctioneer said the price was. But the thing is, if I didn't purchase him from enough to pay his debt, whoever it was that bought that Hebrew slave had to do more than just pay what the cost was. But Brother Kendrick, if Brother Parker would have owed you something in Exodus 21 and I would have paid him and he still owed you money. Before I could walk out of that auction, I had to walk over and say, how much does he owe you? And she would say, well, he owes me $1,000. So I'd have to reach in my wallet and take out another $1,000 and pay his debt. And then I'd go to Brother Simpson and say, well, how much more does he owe you? And you'd say, well, he owes me $2,000. And I'd have to reach in my pocket and take $2,000. And then when I got to Brother Wesley, well, he owes me more than he owed them together. He owes me $5,000. I'd have to reach in my pocket. I'd have to pay him $5,000. I'm talking about above what I purchased him for. But can I tell you, all of a sudden, when I paid the debt, that debtor would walk away. I'd pay the next debt and he'd walk away. I'd pay the last debt and he'd walk away. And can I tell you, when Brother Parker and I walked out of that auction block, can I tell you, he wouldn't owe Brother Kendrick, and he wouldn't owe Brother Simpson, and he wouldn't owe Brother Wesley. But can I tell you, preacher, when we walked out of there, he had owed me everything. Amen. Can I tell you, when I walked into that service that morning as a 13-year-old boy, I was a debtor, and I could not pay the debt. But thank God Almighty, somebody walked in who had paid the bill, who had met the need. And can I tell you, he paid every debt I owed. And when I walked out of the service that morning, I didn't owe anybody else anything, but I owed him everything. Aren't you glad there was a purchase? I said there was a purchase that found me. Thank you. Amen. Lacey Dixon tells of a little school district in West Virginia. And he said, them children in that little, and when he writes, and I read, but then what I have in mind is a one-room schoolhouse. And, but the Lord, they said they couldn't keep a teacher in there. Them kids were so mean. And I've had some of them at youth camp. I have looked at a couple of them and said, you best pray, Jesus, that you're not mine. Amen. Somebody said, well, I don't believe in whipping my children. We can tell. Amen. Yeah. You say, well, that's child abuse. Daddy didn't have to abuse me about 3 times. I got the point, praise God. Amen. He knew what it was to apply the Board of Education to my seat of understanding. Amen. Amen. Well, Brother A.C. Dixon said he couldn't keep a teacher. This young man just graduated from college. He sat in front of the superintendent of the schools and he said, son, do you have any idea what you're getting into? He said, what makes you think you could last when nobody else could? He said, sir, I don't know. He said, but I'd like to try. He said, well, you're a glutton for punishment, but you can have the job. He said, that little young teacher just out of college walked in that one-room classroom, and man, they was a railing and a carrying on. And said when he walked in, they just got louder. And when he walked by, there's the big old bully of the crew was sitting right over there. He looked at his buddies and said, hey, I won't need y'all's help with this one. He won't last long. He said, I can take care of him all by myself. He said that little teacher walked up to the front, put his bag down, and as soon as he turned around, they got louder. He said, that young man said, hold up, hush. He said, I want to have a good school room. I want to have a good school. But if we're going to do that, we're going to have some rules. He said, but I want you to help me make the rules. All of a sudden, they began to shout rules at, don't steal, don't cuss, don't do this, don't do that. And before they knew it, they had 10 rules written on the board. And here's where he sucker punched them. He said, well, rules are no good without punishment. He said, what's the punishment going to be? One of them old roughneck boys said, 10 licks across the back with a rod. The teacher said, isn't that a little harsh? They said, oh, we can take it. I can just see them. We can take it. And kid walked to camp and got that swagger out there. They won't walk out of here with that, praise God. Amen. You say, what do you do? We call it game time, don't we, Parker? Yes. And them first ones, the ones that walk in with the most swagger, bus west, they're the ones that get volunteered the first day. We call it drafted. They sign it on the permission slip. We will do. We agree to participate. Amen. They wrote the rule down. It didn't take but about 3 days for them to figure out what this rule was all about. All of a sudden, old Big Tom come up to the teacher and said, somebody stole my lunch. They did a little investigation and found out a little boy in the back, and he stole his lunch. His name was Tim. Went back there to him. They said, Tim, he said, did you steal Tom's lunch? He said, yes, sir. He said, Tim, why did you steal Tom's lunch? He said, because I'm hungry. He said, well, Tim, you know what the rules were and you know what the punishment was. He said, son, so you're going to have to take your punishment. They took him to the front of the school, looked at him, and he said, take your jacket off. And the little boy said, no, please. He said, I'll take my whipping, just don't make me take my coat off. He said, you got to take your coat off, son. He said, please don't make me take my coat off. He said, I'll take the whipping. Just don't make me take my coat off. He made him take his coat off. And the little boy started unbuttoning his coat. And he dropped it off of his shoulders. And the teacher realized why he didn't want to take his coat off. Because underneath the coat, there was no shirt. He was barebacked. The teacher looked at little Tim and said, son, why don't you have a shirt on? He said, sir. He said, we're poor. He said, my daddy died a year ago. And he said, we're poor and I only have one shirt and my mom's washing my shirt today. So my brother gave me his coat so I wouldn't be cold. And that teacher was sitting there thinking, how in the world am I going to whip this little boy with this rod on his bare back? And all of a sudden in the back of the schoolroom, a hand went up. You ain't gonna never guess who it was. Old Tom raised his hand. He said, Mr. Teacher, he said, would it be all right if somebody took Tim's place? If somebody took Tim's whipping for him? And man, that teacher jumped on that. He said, you know, Tom, I think there's a law somewhere on the books in the state of West Virginia that said a substitute can take somebody's punishment. And old Big Tom walked up there. He took his jacket off and he bent over. And that teacher began to take that rod and lash him across the back. And Brother Ron, they said on the fifth lick, that rod broke. That teacher thought, how in the world am I going to finish whipping this big old boy? And he turned around the entire schoolroom. Those old rough boys and girls, Brother Wesley, were sitting back there squalling. And the teacher thought, why are they crying? Why are they carrying on? And all of a sudden, the teacher turned around, Brother Jason, and he figured out that little boy, Tim, was laying on old Tom's neck. And he said, Tom, I love you forever. You took my whipping for me. Tom, I love you forever. Can I tell you why the Morrisons were singing, crown him Lord of all? Can I tell you why I want to crown him Lord of all? He took my whipping for me. I stood naked before God with no way to meet the debt. You say, why do you love the Lord? Why do you love him the way you do? I should be in hell. You and I should abhor the wrath and the condemnation of God. But from the back of the room, a hand went up and said, I'll take his place. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let me ask you a question, Brother Tim. You got two boys in here. You letting them take anybody else's whipping? And at best, they're like my children. They're imperfect boys. But he took a perfect son. You know what Tom did? The offended took the place of the offender. Glory to God. You know why we ought to love him? It's because you remember that old song, hymn from years ago? He did it all for me. Each drop of blood he shed for even me. on the cross. He cried, bowed his head, and died. Oh, praise the Lord. He did it all for me. We ought not have to have 30 minutes of sad stories about Grandma and Papa and this, that, and the other. Let a man say, years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me He died. I done got that in a high key. On Calvary, that chorus said, mercy there was great and grace was free. By that time, something ought to be churning in you. And then it said, pardon there was multiplied. Somebody ought to, it ought to be churning. You ought to be saying, amen. Amen. I couldn't pay the debt. I wasn't qualified. I was a sinner. I was broke. Oh, but thank God somebody took my place. Amen. I love the Lord and down deep in my heart because the purchase that found me. Notice verse 4. Winston Churchill said in World War II, talking about the men that were in that Royal Air Force, he made this statement, never in the history of mankind have men so many owed so much to so few. When we think about the Lord, we'd say never in the history of mankind has so many. Let me just change that. Never in the history of mankind has everyone owed so much to one. Number two, and I'm done. Number two, I'm getting done. Number four. Verse four. Not only do I love the Lord down deep in my heart because of the purchase that found me, but I love the Lord down deep in my heart because of the provisions that favored me. He said if he came in and had no wife, he could go out free. Or if he came in with a wife, he could leave with her. He said, but if he came in with no wife and the master gave him a wife, if he leaves, the wife stays and the children stay with the master. But Jason, won't you take a minute and just, Deuteronomy has more to say than any other book in the Bible about remembering. He said, remember, thou wast a slave in Egypt. Deuteronomy 15 says, remember, thou wast a bondman in Egypt. I wonder how many of us it'd help our Christian life if we took just a moment and considered what our life would be had we not met the Master. You think you'd have what you have? You think you'd have a tent and run around preaching around the country? You think you'd be sitting on this kind of church? You think you'd have kids that play and you had them years of playing and singing on platforms around the country? But Tim, you believe you'd have got the, if you'd not met the Master, you'd have stood and watched your son lead the music, daughter-in-law play the piano, wife stand there and sing with your daughter last night, listen to Parker. You think you'd get to see your dad serve the Lord till he's 80 years old? You think you'd have that had you not met the Master? I wonder if that old boy woke up on the day, Jubilee Day. He woke up with a roof over his head. He got up with a heart and he said, you know, when I came here, I didn't have nowhere to live. When I came here, they had taken my house. When I came here, they had taken my goods. When I came here, they had taken my flocks. When I came here, I was in debt. When I came here, I had nothing. When I came here, I was broken. But look at here. There's a roof. I wonder if that's the first place they ever sung that song. There's a roof up above me. I've a good place to sleep. I wonder if that's what it said. I wonder if he said, you know, I thought about maybe mama was down there cooking some bacon, but they was Jews, so they wasn't cooking no hog. I'm so glad I'm a Gentile, praise God. I like country ham. I like sausage. I like sausage gravy. I'm like pork. Amen. I like pork chops. I'm so glad God let me be a Gentile. Amen. Amen. Somebody said, well, you're going to die young, but I'm going to die. I ain't going to die hungry. Praise God. Amen. Amen. I don't know, but Jim maybe got up and smelt breakfast cooking. And he walked down there. And he walked in the kitchen. Maybe he walked by her. She just reached over there, grabbed his hand, looked at him and said, I love you. I love you. After being married 91, y'all been married 31 years. Sometimes you don't even have to say anything to one another. Just a hand. Grab a hand. Go down the road and all of a sudden she says something and you're thinking about what she's saying. I'm thinking, man, y'all do have ESP or something. Miss Laura, Miss Jen, I wonder how different your life would have been had you not met the Master. And maybe he just walked in the kitchen and some mornings you think, man, did we dream it this good? Our 31 years of marriage, our children serving God, our grandbabies right here, mom and dad up there at a great church, in-laws that are still serving Jesus. And he's thinking, it wasn't that way when we got here. He thought, man, when I got here, I didn't have anybody to love me. And now I got a master that loves me. Now I got a family that loves me. Now I just got more than a wife. There's been little children run through the hall. And he said, man, I didn't have a wife, much less babies. But look what God's done. And can I tell you, the Bible said, every good gift cometh down from the Father above. Oh, Freddie, daily loadeth us with benefits. The Lord is good and greatly to be praised. I'm glad, thank God, he just doesn't meet our needs. But I'm glad he supplies some of our desires and our wants. Because you think it would have been this good had you not got saved. Some of us would be in hell. Some of us would be on a street corner. Some of us would have needles in our arms. But thank God for the day. I say thank God for the day. I met the Master and he loadeth us with benefits. Amen. Amen. Who you want to come back to see? Call on whoever you want to come back. I'm about to quit. Whew. If I weighed 200 pounds, I wouldn't be quitting, praise God. It takes more steam to run these big trucks, praise God. Amen. Amen. That's one thing about it. Brother Wesley's in danger of getting kidnapped. They ain't kidnapping me. It's too much work. It wouldn't take much to pull him in a truck, praise God. Amen. Number 3, and I'm done. Look at verse 6. But Jason, up until verse number 6, the Master's doing the talking. But when you get to verse number 6, the Master's not talking anymore. The servant's talking. He would look at that man and said, you know I can go free, but I love you. And I'm staying here. So he said, I tell you what, let's go down to the gates. Just like in Ruth 4, they went down to the gates. That near kinsman down there, he didn't want to mar his inheritance. That law didn't want to mar his inheritance, but our kinsman redeemer. So he took him down there to the gates. And the Master looked at the servant and he said, I could go free. But I need to say a word today. I love the Lord. In his words, he said, I love my Master. And I'm just going to stay with him forever. I love my Master. And they would have taken him to the door. And we spend all that money on them books. I was coveting your books back there. But you know what I found? We pay all that money for them books. And them cats, they skip the same verses that we have trouble with. I mean, I paid $100 for certain. And I've learned, Brother Jason, I read them now. At least I go to the verse I know I'm having trouble with in that book. In the Bible, and I look in there and see if they deal with it. Because what I done got burnt, man, the verses I can't get a hold of, I go in there and they skip it. I thought, man, I just gave him $100 for nothing. Amen. I mean, God will provide. He provided you a 3-point outline to preach next week and say the Lord gave it to me. And he did in the message. Amen. And he demanded some things of you. You had to invite him, didn't you? And then he supplied you with a message. Ain't that a blessing? Amen. You say, I live this message. I wondered what door he took him to. Was it the door at the gate? I personally believe it was the door of the master's house. Because I believe it was that door of the master's house that separated where the servants were and where the family was. And he took him to the door and he bore all. I mean, I'm not talking about the guy that got his ear pierced. He bore an awl through his ear. Like these guys that put these gauges in their ear now. And everywhere he went. Brother Wesley, if you were to pass me on one of these roads down here, we were living in Bible times, and you saw that hole in my ear, everybody in town knew what that meant. That meant to everybody that saw it, I could have left, but I chose to stay. And I chose to stay, not because he made me, but because I love the Lord. The Bible said he took upon the form of a servant, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Isaiah said he was numbered among the transgressors. He was crucified between thieves. Explain something to me. Why was he so quick to identify with us? Yet we're so slow to identify with him. Could it have to do with John 3:16? For God so loved. Could it be the reason he was so quick to identify with us is he so loved us? And that we're tardy to identify with him because we don't love him like we ought to? See, I don't think that servant just loved him because of the purchase that found him. And I don't think that servant just loved him because of the provision that favored him. But I think that servant loved him because of the proclamation that followed him. Everywhere he went for the rest of his life, his testimony was, I love the Lord. I love the Lord. I love the Lord. I wonder tonight while they get ready to sing. Can I tell you something? We can have our hair cut right, and I think you ought to. We can be separated from the world, and I think we ought to. I mean, man, y'all, some of you preachers, you ever get preaching in a big way, you get to preaching against things, and you get in the car with your wife, and they said, Daddy, when did we get to be against that? And I said, well, you know, I don't know, but we are today. Amen. I mean, every once in a while, you just got to change the oil. Amen. And be against something. I'm for a lot of things. But can I tell you something? Paul said, if we do it without charity, it didn't say it didn't profit us a little bit. It said it profited us nothing. If there's a message I ever heard Lee Davis preach that stuck with me. He came in our place on a Wednesday night. He preached Monday and Tuesday sweet, then gutted us on Wednesday night, preached that 1 Corinthians 13, and left. I said, Brother Lee, they call that hit and run. I said, you could at least preach that on Monday and put some balm in the wounds when you got done. Amen? I wonder tonight, with everything we've got right, is our love right? You remember what it was before he found you? Some of us second and third generation Christians, we really don't know where God brought us from. All you've known is church and Holy Ghost preaching and a Christian parents. You've never gone home to a cuss fight. You don't know what being drunk's all about, and praise God for it. But that ain't where he found the ones that led you to the Lord. And some of you didn't have to grow up in that because the Lord saved your mom and dad. Or say, I just found out the other day that my grandfather was a moonshiner. I mean, you know, everybody didn't put corn in the corn crib. Some of them put them in a steel. But you know what? Dr. Harold B. Seitler came to Cornelia, Georgia, the end of the 1940s, and preached. My dad and his brothers, there's 13 of them together. My grandparents got born again. And I never knew a moonshining grandfather, which he died when my dad was 16. I didn't know a lost family. You know why? Because I was showered with provisions that favored me. But where would we be had the Master not paid our debts? Oh my. And can I tell you, we can sit on pews of great churches and our love wax cold. And preacher said it, man, he said it so eloquently last night. We trying to get people to do the right things for the wrong reason when we ought to do it because we love it. I love the organ. The organs have gone away in a lot of churches. I love, my wife plays the organ at home. And boy, every once in a while, you might just come in there and, with the lights off and nobody in here and just sit on that organ and tell the Lord, I play for church. I play for funerals. I play for weddings. But today, I'm going to play for you. Every once in a while, y'all ought to pick up them instruments and say, Lord, the lights aren't on. There's no evangelist. There's no pastor. There's no crowd. And just say, Lord, this is for you because I love you. But Kendrick, when you get them kids together, they're grown. And maybe one of these days in the near future, y'all all get back together and say, young'uns, we've sung all over the country for meetings. But today, let's just sing it to Him. Let's just sing it to Him. Brother Hart, every once in a while, you got them boys. I thought while y'all were singing. And I thought while y'all were singing. I talked to Brother Jason yesterday when I got here and I said, how you doing? He was telling me the transition they're in. Their kids have got grown. And Brother Wesley, you're going to blink your eyes. And she's going to have a husband and she's going to have a husband. She'll have a husband if you don't kill him first. And they're not going to be standing here with you anymore. Am I right, Brother Kendrick? Brother Hart, you're going to turn around. And then boys are going to have their own family. And they may not be able to travel. I watched it happen after the Drummonds from years ago, the Blunk Halls, the Hensons. But don't let them get out of here. Don't let them go without having some times with just you and them. No sound system. No crowd. And just say, boys, we want to do it for Him because we love Him. Because He bought and paid for us. Because He's favored us. And Brother Hart, y'all look at them boys and say, boys, I don't do it for the offering. I don't do it for a living. I do it because I love Him. You remember when you first started preaching on the road, preaching meetings? Let's be honest. I'm just going to be honest and say what some men won't say. When you first start going, it's neat being out there. New crowds, new men, new people, opportunities. You go in there, and let's just be honest, you're the center of attention. But after about a year, the lights go dim. You miss home. You start missing young'uns' t-ball games and you start missing this and missing that. And all of a sudden you realize the only way I'm going to make it, loading the truck up every week, getting on an airplane, is doing it because I love him. Let me ask you something. Boy, the preacher said it last night, didn't he? He says, Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? I wonder tonight if you'd be like the Hebrew servant before we leave and just want to come tell the Lord, I love the Lord down deep. And Micah Henson said it this way in the song he wrote, if he never blessed me again, he's done enough that I could shout that he... 28 years ago, could you have dreamed it this good? Could you have dreamed, Miss you and Miss Jen, being here serving God with your children, your dad, the print ministry doing all that it's doing? No. You know what? There's been some provisions that favored you. I wonder tonight, maybe you want to take a minute while they sing and come think about what it might have been had you not met the Master. And you might just want to come tell him how much you love him. They're standing.